This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled Doers, the second in the series Life Hacks. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. There you will find many resources, including this teaching in both audio and video formats in the media section. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
So welcome to 12 Stone across the campuses. We are fired up to be in week two of this Life Hack series because we're tapping into the book of James, where God is offering us wisdom to navigate some of the tough times in life. We all have those. And how to navigate through some tough seasons in relationships. Relationships go through rough seasons. So how do you get through those? Well, the leading question of the day is, what is the number one reason? What is the number one reason that people do not experience the life that God says they can have? Now, hang on. Let me just read a section here. Anyone who listens to the word, skip a few words, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, when the author of life, when God himself says, I will bless you. I mean, when he says, you will uniquely be blessed by me, I get fired up about that. I want that kind of life. Don't you want the life that the author of life says, I will bless? Well, of course we do. So many times, though, people say, well, I've tried that. Didn't work out for me. I don't know about that blessed life thing that God is promising. So, what is the number one reason that people do not experience the life God says they can have? What's the answer? I don't know. I don't know how you take a poll and know what the number one is. I just thought it was a really good question. I think it's a question we ought to ask. Now, if I had to guess at the answer, I think the answer is in James chapter 1. Grab your Bibles, cross the campuses, right there underneath your chair. Grab a Bible and turn over to James chapter 1. If you have a Bible of your own, we're in James chapter 1. If you're in a worship center Bible, it's on page 1217. James chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 22 and following. Here we go. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do, what's the word? Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word, now, last time I read this, a few minutes ago, I skipped. Now we're going to read the in-between. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Probably the number one reason that people don't experience the life that God says they can have is that while they listen to it, they don't actually live it. Doesn't that make a whole lot of sense? Well, they're aware of it, but they don't actually do it. In fact, flip over to chapter 2, verse 26, and here's what we find. James is telling us, as the body, verse 26, chapter 2, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is what? Dead. In other words, there's a life principle, and if you're going to take some notes, you can jot this down in your notes, because this is the life principle James is giving us. Faith without action is dead. Faith without what? Action is dead. In other words, don't just tell me what you believe. What? Show me. Just show me. Don't just tell me what you... If you want me to know what you believe, show me. Now, Tom Cruise played a character, Jerry Maguire, in a film in 1996 by a film under that title. And he was a sports agent who had his one hope left. The one hope of this one athlete that was his only client, and he had to keep this client, he had to make it work. It was played by Cuba Gooding Jr. Some of you might remember the name in the movie was Rod Tidwell. And in that famous moment in the movie, the athlete Rod, played by Gooding, was declaring to his agent, played by Cruz, I don't want you to keep telling me what you're going to do for me. I want the talk, blah, 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 to end. I want you to actually do it. Don't tell me, show me. In fact, the famous line is, show me the... How is it we all know this? Because it's famous. There's 83 seconds of it from the film. Check it out.
Yeah, what can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing.
Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother.
Here it is. Show me the money.
Jerry! Does that make you feel good just to say that? Say it with me one time, Jerry.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you would mean it, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
I love black people!
What you gonna do, Jerry?
Show me the money!
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
Oh, there you have it. James did not say it that entertainingly, but that is what he meant. James is saying, show me the money. In other words, quit telling me what you believe. If you want a life that's transformed, don't just listen to God's word, actually do it. When you walk away from the weekend, Monday through Saturday, or the days of the week are supposed to be different because you played out in action what God formed in your life through his word. Because faith without action is what? Dead. In other words, get this, the mark of spiritual maturity. We talked last week about that movement toward maturity, the thing God is trying to drive our roots down and get us above the weeds and move us into maturity. What you need to know is maturity is more than Bible information. It's more than what you know. It's what you do. If you say you love God, then show him. Sometimes I think God is up there. If you say you love me, show me. Don't tell me, show me. If you say you love me, then if you're not going to deal with the things that divide relationships inside the church, or the things of anger and taming your tongue outside the church, or the wrestling of temptation and sin inside your heart, then your faith is dead. If you say you love God, but you won't love your spouse, your faith is dead. If you say you love God, but you won't honor God first, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you won't make God first, then your faith is dead. If you say you love God and your head is full of Bible knowledge, but your life is not filled with serving, your faith is dead. And I don't need to go figure out some creative twist on the insight so that you can be inspired to tweet it out. We just need to actually live this. You don't need me to write 40 minutes and teach anymore. So I'm done with the teaching. Shortest message ever. Now that's exciting for some of you. The bad news for you is the rest of the time is on life hacks. So what do we do with this? So here we go. Three life hacks. Number one, step up. Say it with me. Number one, what? James chapter 2. Let's go right back over there. James chapter 2, verses 14 and following. Here's what he tells us. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Verse 15, chapter 2. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, you're going to have to step up. If you're going to love God and love others, if that's what you're going to say you believe, you're going to have to actually live this. You're going to have to care about other people. At times, you're going to have to step up and take action on this. Now, step up, of course, we're talking about in this pioneer season because we're launching the 5 campuses in January. And while we believe God has called us to a great vision to go be a part of his kingdom, changing other people's lives, and some 3,000 plus are sent out, we know that at the present campuses, it will take many to step up and serve. That's part of stepping up. Many of you are being called to just quit sitting and step. Good, let's go do that. But step up also includes for us as a church what's coming this Christmas. See, we know that inside our circles, Christmas is a celebration of Christ coming. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It is the nature and the heart of God to give. And the closer you get to God your Father, the more you join him in the heart of giving. So as a church, we give ourselves away. And each Christmas, we get to have the best time of anyone at Christmas because we uniquely give ourselves away. And we invest, you know, that kind of $1 million Christmas thing to go change the lives of people and mark them and give the way God's heart would give. And so it's right there. We're calling it One Christmas. It's on the front of your bulletin. And on the inside, if you want to turn to it, you'll see some of the things we're going to do. Now, every year, we take a major offering and you give generously, and it takes $750,000 to $1 million, and then we give our time, effort, and energy, and it's $1 million plus impact. And well, there's usually 100 things we'd love to do, and we have to narrow it down to the 3, 4, 5 things that we can do. And here we go. Here are the 3, 4, 5 things that we can do. Now, I'm just going to give you an overview. You're going to have to go to 12stone.com/Christmas, as it says right there, to get the great details. So I can just highlight it, but let's talk about a few of them. One of them right there is shoebox. What is it? Shoebox. Let me talk about it. Samaritan's Purse does this incredibly cool thing. And this incredibly cool thing that they do is that they have people put together Christmas shoeboxes. And so thank you, my friend. Here's what it looks like. You'll get a box like this that's flat. And then the good news is it has IKEA level directions so that you can transform it into this. And here's what happens in this. You end up having a shoebox like this, and you make this a Christmas gift to some child somewhere in the world who is in great need. Oftentimes on the continent of Africa is where this is going to go. And you fill it with, they give instructions and details how to go do this. And we're going to go mark the lives of 25,000 kids. It's Christmas. Now, we called Samaritan's Purse. We said, you know what? We did this with you guys like 8, 9 years ago. Love doing it. It's time to get back to doing this. Send us 25,000 boxes. And they said, there's no need to do that. We said, well, why not? They said, because in all the efforts and all the years of all the large churches or large organizations, nobody has ever given more than 18,000 boxes, and neither will you. That's how it felt to me. I don't think they meant to challenge us, but I'm like, I know these people. And if there's any people that is capable of delivering 25,000 boxes back, it's y'all. If there's anybody that could pull this off, it's us. Now, I'm not saying we have to. I'm not saying we're going to. But I want to. And I want to for the more important reasons, but I can't deny I feel just a little bit of challenge. So here's what I'm saying. We had them deliver 25,000 boxes to us. I said, fine, we'll deliver them. Hey, and you can use your own box if you need, but don't pick up boxes, take them home, and then not do it. I'm just suggesting that everybody does at least a box per member of the family. And previously, we would give you a little bank, remember, in the previous years, and you take it home, and your kids could be involved and take and fill the bank and earn some money and be a part of the Christmas experience. Instead of a little bank, you bring home a box. And so with my 11-year-old Jaden, we're going to get a few boxes for our family, and he's going to put in some money, so to speak, to help buy the things. And they give you the list of what to buy and how to pack it and how to put it in it. And on November 15th and 16th, we bring them all back. And if we run out of boxes, you can use your own shoebox, and this is going to be a whole lot of fun, church. And do not take boxes home and leave. Give them to somebody who's going to use it and make sure it gets back here, because I think we can beat the record and reset the standard. But anyhow, it's really all to change lives and mark kids' lives and give Christmas to 25,000 kids. We're going to deliver through this process the gospel, the story of Jesus, to some 9,000 kids. We're fired up about that. That's not the only thing we're going to do. You see right there in your notes a quick summary on foster families. Hey, let me tell you, we're going to go mark the lives of foster families. We're going to cover foster families here in Gwinnett, in Hall County, and in Barrow County, some 525 families of foster kids, and we're going to go give Christmas to them. Doesn't that sound like fun? I mean, if you talk about what James tells us, that really, what James leads us into, you think about this. You go back and you look at what James tells us right here. Here's what he says, verse 27 of chapter 1. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You see, God cares that we're going to go step up and be a part of caring for people who are in the least, the disadvantaged places of life. Now, in a minute, we'll pick up that whole don't be polluted by the world. But right now, we get to talk about caring for foster families. And we're not only going to bless the kids. And I mean, seriously, like, they make their Christmas list, and we'll spend $250, $300 per kid. And then we're going to bless the families who take care of foster kids across the three counties. That gets me fired up. I know it gets us all fired up. Let's keep going. We're going to take care of some things. This one's pretty cool. You know that we have 5 campuses moving into 5 new territories. Let me tell you, this is a major one right here. We've been a part of Habitat for Humanity on multiple occasions, helping people get into homes that would otherwise have no opportunity for that at whatsoever. And this year, in fact, it'll take us from Christmas this year to Christmas next year, we would like to lead the way and make possible and build 5 Habitat for Humanity homes in each of the 5 territories where we're moving. So we're going to do it in Beaufort. We're going to do one out in Brazoston. We're going to do one out in Winder, Bethlehem area. We're going to build one out in Grayson, Logaville. We're going to build one out in Snowville. That's just good. Now, this is a major, major event. It'll take us all year. Thousands of us will be involved in the actual construction. We'll be serving together to make it happen. And when we move into this community, we want to declare that we are here first to serve. We're not going to talk about the heart of God. We're going to demonstrate the heart of God. We're going to let faith take action in all 5 communities. It'll take us all year. This is going to be an awesome year. That's a $500,000 investment alone for us to go pull that off over the next year. And that's like, hey, Merry Christmas, huh? That's going to be really good. So along with that, we got some other stuff we're going to do. The 5 campuses are going to lead the way into the schools, so that we're picking schools in the 5 areas that we're moving, and we're going to serve kids there and families, literally give Christmas to about 60 families. When I say give Christmas, I mean like $1,000 a family. It's going to be a series. Give them food and that day and Christmas food, and then we're going to provide gifts for their kids. It's just going to be all good stuff. And then we're going to kind of raise up and reset this whole act of kindness stuff, and we'll give you more information on what does it mean for us to just acts of kindness, to be the hand and the heart of God to the world around us. That's all I can talk. That's all we got time for. But can't you get fired up about what we get to go do this Christmas? That's going to be awesome. And we'll be taking the offering for that early on. We'll be doing that in November, the 15th and 16th weekend, when we bring the boxes back. Okay, what that allows us to do is kind of celebrate. We're here to step up, because faith without action is dead. And pure religion cares about other people. Now, it simultaneously says in that verse, it keeps itself from being polluted. I want to talk for a moment or two about the second life hack, and that is step back. Say it with me. What is it? See, James chapter 1:27 tells us that there are times when you step back. In order to live out your faith, you step back. First thing you step back from is sin. And we'll pick that up as a separate teaching on another week in this series. But sometimes you have to step back in relationships. And here's what I mean. Sometimes you have to step back and treat people better than they treat you. And that can be difficult. And so I want to have a conversation with you. Our attorney says that we 12 Stone should sue. That what they did was unethical and illegal. And I agree with our attorney. I've never been pushed to take aggressive action legally until recent. And we are poised to do so. And we believe that we would win. In fact, others from the other side of the table on this have even said if 12 Stone sues, they will win. The offending party is the city of Buford. And the issue at hand is the space for the Buford campus, one of our five campuses that we're launching. And so for obvious reasons, I'm going to stay a little bit close to my notes here. I really don't want to talk about this. It's unnecessarily sad. Shouldn't even have to have this conversation. I have to talk about it publicly because we're public with the five campuses and because we already announced the Kroger Center as the location for our Buford campus. And really, we have guests among us and visitors, and we don't air laundry issues inside the church and the family. But this is really an illustration of how are you going to go about treating other people better than they treat you? And so I have to have this public conversation because we've gone public with things that are going to change. And so just give me a few moments to address it. Frankly, the way that the city of Buford has chosen to handle these issues would justify legal action against them. And this is a real-time kind of rough relationship. So, though I'm convinced that we would win the legal suit, I think that we would lose our ministry focus. And so we are going to step back from legal action, but we are not going to step back from launching a Buford campus. And I want to tell you the story. It took 6 months for the story to unfold. It would take me 10 hours to give you the details, and I've got 10 minutes to give it to you. But I think you need to hear the story because I can't keep it from running around the community, so I'm just going to have to tell you how it laid out. When we launched the Five Vision Campus, one of them is to be in Buford, and we were soon offered the old Kroger space in Buford. Now, the space next door in this little commercial retail site, though the space has been empty for over 5 years, was picked up by At Home, the old Garden Ridge company, and built out. And the space next door, since the developers couldn't get it leased for a grocery store, offered it to us. And so that door opened and we pursued it. When that was offered to us this past spring, we went next door and talked to At Home to make sure that they were amenable to having the church next door in that shopping center, and that was fine. They were all good. Thumbs up. Yeah, let's go. And then we went to the city of Buford and had a conversation with them, said, do you have any concerns? And they said, yeah, we have one concern. We don't like the idea of that retail space becoming not-for-profit and taking it off the tax digest. In other words, we want our tax money for that to continue. And we said, you know what, we understand that. Now, I want you to know as a church that in that moment, it didn't matter. We could have literally, and we thought about it, just purchased that particular building. We would own it and already be in process of building it out to be opened in this new year. So we could have purchased it outright, and it would have been taken off the tax digest. But because we desired to be a good neighbor, we said, here's what we're going to do. We'll have a developer friend purchase it, and we'll do a lease with the developer that will secure it, and that way it stays on the tax digest. You get tax dollars. We want you to be blessed by this process, and we want to be good neighbors. So we committed to that, and they said, awesome, good to go. Let's go forward. Then on July 31st, which took us a couple of months of very expensive legal process in order to arrange that kind of a deal, and we spent tens of thousands of dollars to prepare for the building and whether or not it would work, an architect and the like. So on July the 31st, we signed the contract for purchase lease. That would close on August the 26th. So from July 31st to August 26th, and then it closes on the 26th. So we signed contract, and in between those dates, in the first week of August, we discovered that the city of Beaufort had been working subversively against us. And in the first week of August, enacted a new law. And the law was to create what's called a special use permit so that no church could move into any territory in the city of Beaufort that was retail or commercial or otherwise without the city of Beaufort approving it. Therefore, that property was no longer available to us without their approval, which had we purchased the property a couple of months before, they could have done nothing about it. But being good neighbors, we agreed to go along, and they enacted a new law. It was done, according to our attorney, which I agree, unethically, underhandedly, and illegally. And their response is, oh, no, we're 412 Stone. All you need to do is just apply for the SUP, special use permit. Now, by now, we can figure out that everything's not going so well. You're not really for the people of 12 Stone. But we apply for the special use permit. And wouldn't you know that when we get to the special use permit of the planning board this last Tuesday when I sat in that meeting, they recommended denial of our special use permit. Oh, isn't that an amazing surprise? In fact, between then, they made sure the message got back to me, perhaps so I could tell you, you know, we don't need 12 Stone in Beaufort. We already have our churches. And I didn't know how to pass this on to them. I don't know how to help them hear this. But 12 Stone is already in Beaufort. We already have hundreds of people in Beaufort. We've already been serving people in Beaufort. We've already given tens of thousands of dollars to people in need in Beaufort to pay for their utilities, checks made payable to the city of Beaufort for people who don't even go to our church. We've already spent tens of thousands of dollars feeding hungry people in Beaufort. The church is not a building. The church is people. We're already in Beaufort. Don't know how to help you understand this, but that's the circumstances that we're in. And so we know that they are already moving against us, and that's fine. We have to make a decision. And our decision is, we didn't set out to fight a city. We set out to serve a group of people. That's just who we are. And that doesn't mean that we won't at times step up and protect our rights. We will. There are times when you have to. The Apostle Paul did in Acts 22 for his Roman citizen rights. This is not going to be one of those situations. We have so much to do to give ourselves away this Christmas. We have so much to do to go win 5 campuses into 5 new territories that we are going to step back. We are not going to take the bait for this battle. And that includes the at-home. Because when we showed up at the meeting this last Tuesday and got done with our brief little presentation, already having been told from the city of Beaufort, you won't get this, by the way. We set this up so you wouldn't get this. Then the at-home VP from Dallas showed up with an attorney, and they stood and spoke against the people of 12 Stone Church. And as I listened to them present, I was embarrassed for them because they clearly hadn't done any homework. They didn't really know what they were talking about. For example, they said, well, if this church has 16,000 people a week and divide it by 4, that's 4,000 people next to our at-home business. Where are they going to park? It just doesn't work. Do you have any idea? Did you do any homework? Afterward, I had a conversation with them. I said, hey, nice to meet you. Did you do any homework? Do you even know who we are? No. Why are you even here? Well, we got a phone call that incited us to quickly show up in the last minute, and we were told that we needed to get here and stand against a church that was doing something that could affect our business. So you're a plant. I said, did you know that we talked to your store already? No. Did you know we already talked to your manager, and he said, double thumbs up, let's go? Oh, no. You don't even know what you're doing, do you? I said, you said in the presentation you'd like to protect your customers. Are you aware that 28,000 people every month attend 12 Stone and that we are your customers? I said, do you know that if you had talked to us early on when we had talked to you, that if you told us what you thought that a church moving in your shopping center would be an adverse effect on your business, that we would have stopped and never pursued this? Because we are not about adversely affecting business. We want you to win. We help businesses in the community. We already have our church in commercial areas and other locations. We know how to work with businesses. We run businesses. That's what the people of 12 Stone do. We would have been that accommodating. And if I were you, I would never have done what you just did. Because you were a pawn of the city of Beaufort to distract an unethical, illegal process. Bad call. Now, it doesn't matter because we're done. We're not going to go battle this legally. I'll go into the final commission meeting on November 3rd. And we'll do the placating little pretense of a meeting. And they'll deny us, which they've already said they will. And then they've told us, what you need to do is go find another location in Beaufort that's less desirable for you. And then apply for another special use permit. And you know what? We probably will, just for the process. And if they choose to deny us again, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go find a place just outside the line of the edge of the city of Beaufort. And we're going to launch the campus. And we're going to serve people in the city of Beaufort and still build the Habitat for Humanity home and still give tens of thousands to serve people in need, because that's who we are and that's what we do. Our faith takes action, and that's how we're going to play this out. Now, no matter what happens, then you need to know that on January the 11th, 2015, we are going to have a temporary place to launch the campus for Beaufort, just like all the other five campuses. And there are things that we need to do to put our faith in action. And I want you to hear this, because these two things are very important. If you feel compelled and you want to do something, I'm going to tell you what I'd love to have you do. And this is really important. It truly is. Here it is. The first one is this. Don't crusade against the city of Beaufort. And I mean it sincerely. Do not crusade against the city of Beaufort. If you want to voice your thoughts to the city of Beaufort, this is what you do. Write a note to them. The note can only say that we are disappointed in your leadership. Don't say anything unkind. Do not send them the letter. Send your letter to me. You can email it to 12stone.com to me. You can send it to the church address. I will take it with me on November 3rd and hand it to them for you. Nothing unkind. Additionally, do not show up at the November 3rd meeting. Don't get rallied. Oh, we're going to show up and we're... No, we're not. We're not fighting this. We're not going to... If I wanted us to give a show of force, we could. We're not doing this. We're not fighting the city. We're done. Second, don't crusade against at home. They insulted you. Yes. They made a mistake. Yes. And if you want to do something, and this I wish you would do, by the hundreds, I wish you would stop by at home. Shop there. If it's out of your way, make your way over. And shop there. And if you find something you want, buy it. If not, fine. But on the way out, I'd like you to say to the manager, the clerk, or anybody who works there, we are very disappointed that you chose to stand against 12 Stone. We, however, will not stand against you. Smile and walk out the door. And that's all you can do. Not one unkind word. Not one unkind word. And that's what's on us. Because sometimes putting your faith in action means you step back and treat people better than they treat you. Yeah? That's sometimes what it means. And we're all going to have to navigate. Besides, I kind of get this feeling that God is playing the city of Beaufort like a fiddle, and God's going to put us exactly where he wants us anyway, because that's who God is. Having said that, there's cool stuff happening anyway. And when Sean, the campus pastor, told me a story yesterday morning of what happened Friday night, I thought you had to hear this. So Sean, come on out wherever you are. I know that you're somewhere here and there. Okay, Sean, come here. Tell us the story that you told me, because I thought this was kind of cool.
Yeah, you had just mentioned, actually, that the church isn't even a building. It's the people in it. And that is the very same thing I said to our Buford Pioneers this weekend. Actually, this weekend, we had our Pioneer kind of connection event to get together, a picnic style, eat a meal together, get to know one another before we launch out in January.
And this was Friday night.
And this was Friday night. At Bogan Park.
Okay.
And we had a great opportunity to actually be a church without a building. What happened is we had a bunch of Chick-fil-A box lunch meals left over. And so we took them over to the baseball fields around the park where the families were watching baseball games and just kind of shared the meals with them.
So free food.
Free food.
That always works.
It always works.
Free Chick-fil-A. That'll do it.
And naturally, with the free food, a bunch of us students started flocking over and coming getting the food. And that really, there was a conversation that stood out among all the conversations. And it was with a 10th grade student named Samuel. And Samuel started asking questions to one of our Buford Pioneers, Chris, about faith, about God, what that looks like, why it matters. And through the course of the conversation, Chris had the opportunity to share the gospel with Samuel. And this weekend, on Friday night in Bogan Park, Samuel gave his life to Christ.
Come on. Come on, church.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. How good is that? How good is that? And you know, that's what we're going to be about in the five campuses. That's what we're about as a church. And I think James would teach us, if you're going to say you love God, then demonstrate it in the way you love people. Yeah? And sometimes you have to step back. Third, sacrifice. The third life hack is what, church? Sacrifice. James chapter 2, verse 16. I read it, but I'll repeat it to you. James says, what good is it? What good is it if you say to somebody, be at peace? God bless you. But they're in physical need and you do absolutely nothing for them. What good? Don't just use words. At times you're going to have to what? Sacrifice. Say it again. At times you're going to have to what? In other words, to give something, you're going to have to give something up. It's going to cost your time. It's going to cost your energy. It's going to cost your money. Well, of course it is. How do you think anything happens in the kingdom of God? How do you think the kingdom of God comes on earth and actually goes forward? Well, I don't have time. Of course not. You sacrifice and make time. Well, I just don't have money. Well, of course you don't. You sacrifice and make it available. Wow, I just don't have any energy for it. You think we all have energy at the end of the week? I got a bucket of energy. I don't know what to do with. Well, I'll just help the kingdom because it's left over. It's nothing left over. You sacrifice. When the offering comes on November 15th and 16th for us to take an offering, and we got to pull in a $750,000 kind of dollar offering for Christmas to go make all this happen for the lives of people, you think it's because we all got money? Say, we're at the end of the week. Honey, I'm collecting a bucket of money, and I don't know what to do. I ran out of all the things I want to do with my money. We paid everything off. We're tired of partying. We're tired of stuff. We're just, you know what? We just got so much money, I don't know what to do. Well, we'll give it to God then. We just don't know what to do with it. That's not how that offering's going to happen. That offering's going to happen because you sacrifice. Maybe for you, $5 is sacrifice. Give it. Maybe for you, you say, here's what we're going to spend on Christmas, and we're going to give half of what we would do for us on Christmas to somebody else. Some of you say, you know what? Here's what we do for ourselves. We're going to match it and give it. Some will make major checks because God's blessed you in major ways. That's how that offering happens. You see, sacrifice is movement from casual to radical. Write it down. Write that down. Sacrifice is movement. From casual to what? And radical is the only way you can follow Jesus. One of the intriguing things in the New Testament is to read the story of John the Baptist, who preceded Jesus. He's known as radical. Curiously, his life ended on earth at the end of his 20s. By the age of 30, at age 30, he died. Martyr. Because he was radical in following Jesus. And it intrigues me that God chose to take his life, maybe so that we would only see John the Baptist as radical, because he didn't live the rest of his years on earth. He didn't get soft over time, so to speak. Didn't get the rough edges rubbed off. I sometimes wonder if that's what God didn't choose to do with Keith Green. If you know anything about Keith Green, when he was a younger child, he was born in the 50s, and then as a younger child, he had contracts for music as a kid. I mean, he'd written something like 12 songs by the time he was 12 years old that were already out in the market. It's really fascinating. He came to Christ at the age 20 and laid down the music, and God brought it right back up in the Christian music industry. By the age 22, he and his wife were giving themselves away through their home that became almost a house church out in California. In fact, they had so many people coming to Christ and growing in faith, and they were so, serving so many addicts and people like teenagers, young girls that were pregnant and needed a safe place, that they rented and bought 4 more houses in their neighborhood, all to serve people like a mission. Man, you give yourself away, you sacrifice. He was so radical. And I remember when he died, because I graduated from college in May of 1982, and he died in a plane crash in July of 82, frozen in time as a radical for Jesus. One of the songs he wrote is that the church is asleep in the light and can't help the world that's asleep in the dark. And while we have the light of Christ, if we're asleep, we're not helping anybody. It's a really radical song. And so as I turn the service over to the campus pastors, I want you to prepare to hear and receive that song and ask God, where in my world am I expressing faith without action? And that's where I'm dead, and I need to become alive. I need to wake up in the light. Let me pray with us. Father, by the power of your Spirit today, for all who are open to you, would you reveal to us where our faith is not demonstrated, where it's dead, where we are talking things that we say we believe, but we're not living them. Maybe it's in our marriage, maybe our family, maybe the workplace, maybe with our resources, our money that you've entrusted to us. Maybe it's the way we don't serve. Maybe we've got used to sitting and soaking and doing nothing. In fact, maybe some of us listening are spiritually unresolved, and we're saying, that's the very reason I'm not responding to Christ, because I see so many people say they believe stuff they don't live. Now, God, none of us live this perfectly, but we're asking you right now, would you reveal to us? And church, I'm praying for all of us. I'm praying for myself. What is the thing? God, tell us. What is the thing? Tell us the thing, God, that right now by your Spirit you would say, this needs to wake up. Your faith needs to become action. So God, that we walk into the world this week and we demonstrate by our heart, by our life, in our relationships, and even tough times, that we are your people. Do this in us, for us, and through us, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.